I'm going to be reading from the book of Colossians today. Colossians chapter 1, beginning from verse 19. Many years ago, there was a man who founded what we call the Salvation Army. His name was William Booth. And as the story goes, William Booth was near death and unable to attend the convention of the Salvation Army. And so he wanted to send a telegram to the convention of the Salvation Army. And he sent a one-word telegram. And that word was others. And I want to talk to you today about others. This is Missionary Sunday. Let's get our mind, you know, yeah, we have our situations, but there are others besides us. And it's a big world that God has called us into. Colossians chapter 1, beginning with verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness should dwell, and that by him to reconcile all things to himself by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. And I now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we preach, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. And if you just turn a page or so, Colossians chapter 2 in your Bibles, excuse me, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, and just two verses there, 19 and 20. What is our hope or joy, our crown of rejoicing? Is it not even you in the presence of our Lord Jesus at his coming? For you are our glory and joy. Others. You know, it's, do I need to remind you that Jesus didn't die for the trees or the fish of the sea or the animals? Jesus died for people. Because when you get people right, everything else becomes right. The reason why the creation is under a curse is because of people. And the reason they will be restored is because of people. And in fact, the whole creation groans waiting for our adoption. They're waiting for us to get our act together in the Lord. The new creation. You know, what's the new creation going to look like? It's going to be all of this and even much, much more without blemish. And so there's a lot weighing on getting it right and getting right with God. Jesus had a test for Peter. He asked him, Peter, do you really love me? Oh, yeah, yeah, Lord, you know you. I love you. And repeatedly, Jesus challenged him with the need for ministry. If you love me, feed my sheep. If you love me, feed my lambs. If you love me, tend to my sheep. Over and over, if you love me, show it by giving that love to others, especially to fellow believers. The second great commandment is what? First commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart. And we need to do that, don't we? We must do that. Learn to love God. I gave a whole series on what does it look like to love God. And I hope there's a love in your heart for this wonderful, great God that has given Rebecca another year of life. Happy birthday, Rebecca. Amen. And what a wonderful, wonderful God. Love him. But the second commandment is like unto that, isn't it? That you should love your neighbor as yourself. There is this looking beyond yourself. In fact, sin is very selfish. And when God comes to us, he liberates us from me, me, me. And he begins to help us to begin to see what is around us and to love people. In fact, that's why it's important for this church to be mission-focused, not just worrying about us. I see churches that are more interested in big buildings. They're more interested in programs. They're more interested in looking good, you know, being on the front page of the paper. That's not what we're about. We're about people. People are extremely important. They bear God's image. It's what Jesus died for. And we must remain mission-focused, outreach-focused. And we do that. We may not be have a lot of numbers here, but we are on the outreach. We are doing missions work, and we thank God for that. And, you know, the real sign of whether you are saved or not, or have you really repented, and John the Baptist came preaching repentance, he laid it out. They said, well, what must we do? Because John said, if you don't bear fruit, the tree's going to get cut down. Oh, you know, well, what can we do to keep from getting cut down? He said, okay, here's what he said to them. He who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. The proof of real repentance is how you treat somebody else. It's not just, oh, God, forgive me, and you know, but no, do something. Show that there's a change in your heart by the way you conduct your business with others. He who has food, let him do likewise. Then the tax collectors came to him to be baptized and said to him, what should we do? And he said, collect no more than what is appointed for you. In other words, don't extort money from people that is not legal. Don't do that. Don't treat people that way. Likewise, the soldiers asked him, saying, what shall we do? He said to them, do not intimidate anyone. You know, they could do that. They got the spear. They got all that. Don't intimidate anyone. So it's how you treat others that really shows where the conversion has taken place in your heart. Amen. And he said also, do not falsely accuse anyone and be content with your wages. How about that? That's when you're really, you know, when you're content with your wages, that's really a good sign that the Lord's really done something in your heart, right? Because who's content with their wages anymore nowadays, huh? Yeah. So we are fellow members. We are members of one body. And we're in relationship. We're connected. And so here in the church, love begins in the church. You got to love each other. You got to look. That's what this prayer time is all about. That's we got to look out. We are our brother's keeper. Yes, we are. And it does concern me what's happening with my fellow believers here in this assembly. I do want to know. I do want to help bear your burden, and hopefully you will help me when the time of need, when I need someone to come alongside of me. This is what the church is about. The body is so put together that when one member suffers, when my finger suffers, the whole body suffers, right? And when everything is well, it just feels great. And it should be that way in the church body, that we suffer when someone's hurting, we hurt with them. We pray with them. We just can't ignore it. We can't, because they are a part of us. And then even to unbelievers, we have a relationship and a responsibility to people on the outside. Really do. I have a responsibility to be a witness. I have a responsibility to be salt and light out there in the world. Not just here, but outside among people that are not believers. We are ordained to have an influence on others. Yes, we are ordained to have an influence on others. I want you to think about, how did you get here in your journey of faith? Somebody invested in you by way of prayer, by way of caring, by way of sharing. Somebody, you are standing on somebody's shoulders today that brought you the gospel, or that cared for you, or was concerned about you, and that is why you are here. All of us are spiritual hitchhikers. We were standing out on the road, had nothing, didn't know what to do, didn't have any, and we had our thumb out, thank God. Anybody know what a hitchhiker is anymore? They don't do that so much anymore, do they? But somebody came along and picked us up. And we stand on the basis of somebody else's interest and care and grace and instruction. And that's why we are, I included, absolutely. I think of all the wonderful people that have invested in me. And I say, thank you, God, that I just caught a ride with some great people. And they took me to the right place. Amen. And now it's our time to reach out. It really is our time to reach out. It's time for me to pick up somebody else. Huh? Yeah. You know, I think of the failure. What if I fail to do what God wants me to do, how will that impact others? What if we just close this church up? I said, folks, no more church here. We're just going to close the doors. I wonder what kind of consequences. Now, I mean, you never know, but there would be consequences. Somebody would be affected. Many people would be affected, much more than we know. Just being here on this corner and having the church open and seeing the cars coming and going and people coming has an impact on the community. Amen. Not only that, but our fellowship together, how meaningful it is. And if we fail to reach out, if we fail in our mission to do what Jesus said, to go into all the world and preach the gospel, it's going to impact somebody. We do not know who that is. And we still do not even know the impact we are having even now as a church. As some of you go to rest homes and you go to juvenile detention and the jail, and we have a little missionary in Nepal, and we have people that have been converted in this church and they've moved on to other places, and the influence goes on, and praise God for that. Amen. It's a beautiful thing. It's a chain reaction. Someone hears and someone believes and someone shares and they believe, and it keeps going and it becomes a beautiful thing. Amen. The greatest reward, you know what the greatest reward in life is? Not to get rich. No. Or to have everything you thought you want. That's nothing. I read a story of a man who, he was wealthy, and he said, everything I've obtained is not worth having. And that's the sum total of something, because if you place your priorities in the wrong place, you'll be really disappointed. But if you make people a priority in God, God first, people next, and God gives you souls, you will have the greatest reward you could possibly have, the salvation of souls. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 16 says, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save yourself and those that hear you. Would you like to have that kind of influence? Get into the Word. Thank God for Brother Jerry, daily post a scripture. Stay with it, Jerry. Continue in it, sharing the word of the Lord. Take heed to it. And when you do that, you help yourself and you help others also by being versed in the word of God. That's why we read the scriptures. That's why we share the scriptures. It helps us, and we're hoping to help others. I maybe gave this illustration before, but I'll give it again. My kids, when they were living in Thailand, we went to a place called Tiger Mountain. 1,237 steps, and they were irregular steps. Some were like this, some were like this, and some were long, some were like this, and it's a beautiful scenery. And so we were all going to do it, including Grandpa. And there's these menacing little monkeys that run up and down waiting to steal whatever's loose. And so you gotta turn your head. In fact, I saw one guy, he had a monkey on his backpack. He didn't know it, and the monkey was working the zipper to get it open. And I had to tell him, hey, there's a monkey on your back. You know, we hear that, but it was really true. So he had to give a little elbow and get the monkey off his back. And so anyway, my healthy grandchildren, they took off on a run up those steps, 1,237. And I thought, well, I better pace myself, you know. Pretty quick, I'm all alone. Everybody's ahead of me. And I get to feeling pretty out of shape and old. And I'm thinking, boy, I was about two-thirds of the way, maybe after about 800 steps. This isn't fun. Why did I do this? And I come upon a little plateau there, and there was a young girl over in the corner, and she was near tears. And she was really struggling. Her name was Owie, and she spoke some English. And I could tell that she was alone, too. And I thought, I got to help this girl. You know that hero thing in me? Suddenly, I got somebody that I can minister to, somebody I can help. I said, Owie, let's do so many steps at a time together, okay? Let's do it. So I took her by the hand sometimes, and we would walk up a few steps, and we'd stop and rest. But it kept me going. It gave me purpose to get to the top. And I'll never forget, when we made that final step to the top, she just burst into tears. She just wept. And I went and walked around there's a little lookout there. I wanted to look down in the valley. I walked around, and I don't know, something strange happened. When I came back, Owie was not there. And when I went down, Owie wasn't there. I don't know what happened to Owie. I don't know if the Lord sent a little angel in the form of weakness to give me strength, to help me. I don't know. I don't know that. But I do know I couldn't hardly walk for a week when I got back down to the bottom. But I just want to tell you, when you get invested in others, it will keep you going and keep you strong when you've got a purpose. Amen. Parents, that's what keeps you going sometimes, your children or somebody that's near and dear to you. Amen. Paul said to the church, you are my crown. That's what I'm all about. You're my crown. I just want to stand with you before Jesus, before the throne, and that's going to be the greatest fulfillment of my life. Whatever I've gone through, and if you've read about Paul, he went through lots of stuff, shipwrecks and beatings and all that. He said, it's all worth it. If when I get to the throne of God, these souls that have been impacted and influenced by my preaching, by my teaching, will stand there and say, that's my glory, that's my joy, is to see the salvation of the Lord. It says of Jesus in the book of Isaiah that he made intercession for the transgressor. It says this, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. Isn't that interesting? Jesus is going to be satisfied. When that innumerable company is around that throne, and Jesus stands there with those nail-scarred hands and the scars in his side and the scars upon his crown, he's going to be all smiles. In fact, he's going to say what it says in Hebrews chapter 2. Let me read this. It is fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren in the midst of the assembly. I will sing to you. And again he says, here I am and the children whom God has given me. This is the great joy of the Lord. Here I am, and here's this great multitude of people. And this is his great fulfillment. We are God's heritage. This is what God wants. He's not looking for gold or silver or diamonds or anything or a perfect paradise. He's looking for his bride, for his people, that he might present him to himself without spot or without wrinkle. Amen. You know, the thought came to me just yesterday. Jesus would not even go to paradise alone. I mean, here he is dying on the cross. Agony. Do I need to describe you how terrible the cross is? I think you must know. It's a state of a bleeding and asphyxiation because you can't breathe, up and down you are. It's horror. It's terrible. It's terrible. And yet he has the time to hear a sinner's prayer, a man who is caught as a thief, and he is there also dying. And the thief says, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. He was probably thinking some future day. But you know what? Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. Jesus got an early prize from the cross, didn't he? Now, in my mind, I got an imagination, you know. And I can imagine as Jesus moves into that paradise, he's got this guy with him. And everybody's, whoa, Jesus is here. Who you got there, Jesus? Well, he was a thief, but he put just a tiny bit of faith in me. And I had to bring him with me. And I'm happy to introduce him to the family. This is my brother. Amen. And I've often thought, some of us are getting older. Wouldn't you like in your last years to be fruitful for the Lord? Who knows? We might go to a rest home some, God forbid. Did I say that? Somebody might need us in that rest home. Or we might have to go to the hospital. God forbid. But maybe there's a little nurse in that hospital. I think of our dear sister Nyhart. She was always bold with the Lord. Oh my. Anybody came in that room, they got a church card. They got something. They got a gospel. They got a testimony. Sister Nyhart was out there with her testimony. Amen. And I just, God bless that testimony. Who knows where it went, but she was influential. You couldn't minister to Margie Nyhart, whether you were doing nursing work or whatever, without knowing she was a godly woman. And I pray that we can bear fruit even in our last days. That should be our prayer, right? Amen. Amen. Sorry about the rest home thing. Didn't mean to scare anybody, okay? But I'm saying if the worst thing happens, it can still turn out for good. Amen. The challenge is, as I woke up this morning, there was this words to an old song came to me. We used to sing it when I was a kid. And one of the verses said this, must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? And then the chorus says, and when the battle's over, we shall wear a crown. We shall wear a crown. And I want to ask you the question today. Will you be carried or will you carry? You just want to barely get there. You might make it. The thief, he made it. All right, there's hope for those that squeeze in at the... I don't recommend it. I don't recommend you wait till the last moment to make it right with Jesus. I recommend that you get right, you stay right, and that you reach out to somebody else and that perhaps you can carry some other person into the presence of God. The Bible talks about drastic measures of it says about in the book of Jude, save some, pulling them out of the fire, doesn't it? You're so concerned that you'll grab somebody that's just about to perish, just like the thief on the cross, and you grab them and say, "No, you can't do that. You must come with me." I think we will marvel at how some people made it to heaven. And it says in another place, he says, if you see your brother sin, you can ask God and God will give him life. You can watch for your brother. You can watch for your sister. You can be involved in their life. We used to sing an old song, "Will there be any stars in my crown? When the record is read and the raised up the dead, will there be any stars in my crown?" Some of you remember this song by Ray Bolts. "I dreamed I went to heaven and you were there with me. We walked along the street of gold beside the crystal sea. We heard the angels singing and then someone called your name. You turned and saw a young man who was smiling as he came. He said, 'Friend, you may not know me now,' but then he said, 'But wait, you used to teach my Sunday school when I was only 8. Every week you would say a prayer before the class would start. One morning when you said that prayer, I asked Jesus into my heart. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave. Then another man stood before you and said, 'Remember the time a missionary came to your church? His pictures made you cry. You didn't have much money, but you gave it anyway. Jesus took that gift you gave, and that's why I'm here today. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad you gave.' One by one, they came as far as the eye could see, each one somehow touched by your generosity. Little things that you had done, sacrifices made unnoticed on earth, heaven now proclaims. And I know up in heaven you're not supposed to cry, but I was almost sure there were tears in your eyes as Jesus took your hand and you stood before the Lord and he said, 'My child, look around you, for great is your reward. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I am a life that was changed. Thank you for giving to the Lord. I'm so glad that you gave.'" Would you stand with me, please? It's a wonderful life to be in service for the Lord. I hope this church realizes, I just got word from Brother Santa Gurung, they're going to build more churches. The Lord is doing great things in Nepal, and he found Jesus right here in this church. What if we hadn't been here? What if we didn't send him? A lot is depending on us collectively, and there's a lot depending upon you individually. Don't live for yourself. Live to touch somebody else. Be generous in your prayers. Be generous in your giving. Be generous in your time. And as we conclude today, I want you just, I don't know how to do this, but I want you to think of your left hand reaching back to whoever it was that influenced you. Maybe many someones. Someone prayed for you. Someone sacrificed. Someone disciplined you. And your left hand, your left arm is around that person with thanksgiving. You pull them in with gratitude. And then you have, God gave you two arms. Then you got another arm out here and you're reaching for somebody that doesn't know the Lord or that it's weak, that's struggling. Amen. And you're taking these arms and you're bringing continuity. You're making connection. Amen. So today I just want to say to somebody, I don't know who all is here, but we used to have a thing we called altar workers. Brother Dan, you know what that's like. Brother Dan got roped in one Sunday morning on a Mother's Day. A dear brother Dear Brother Fackler, one of the founders of this church, he got Dan by the arm at the end of the service. Said, come on, let's go pray. Didn't he, Brother Dan? He reached out, pulled him in. I don't know how to conclude this service, but if somebody needs to pray, or somebody needs to draw near to the Lord, or somebody wants to, and I don't want you to be able to come alone. If somebody steps out, I want somebody to step with them and say, you know what, I care. And whatever it is you're going through, whatever's going on, I want to stand with you. We're going to open up this time. If somebody just feels that this is a moment that they need to draw near to the Lord, or are you want to encourage somebody that you've been praying for, and you just want to say, let's just go to the front. Let's just look to the Lord. And I know you've been to the front, some of you, for healing, and thank God for that. But I want to give an opportunity, whether it's timely or not, for you to just say, I want to be used of God. How many of you want to be used of God? Yes, 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 yes. Amen. Lord, thank you that you became poor so we could become rich. Give us a soul winner's heart. Give us a concern for others. Lord, we live in a needy world. We don't need to see any more need. There are people on the verge of suicide, and people on the verge of all kinds of chaos out there. And I pray, God, you would give us hands that heal, hands that reach, that minister, that love, that point the way. Help this church, Lord, as we continue our outreaches, whether it be overseas, in Nepal or Liberia, or wherever you open doors for us, Lord, in Canada. Lord, you've given me the opportunity to be in 10 different nations I never thought possible. Thank you, Lord, that you have made us influential. You have made us important to you and to the salvation of souls. May we never fail you. May we never fail you. Lord, may we stand before you, and not just us, but perhaps a multitude of people, perhaps a multitude of people that have come to you through your touch upon our life, your love for us that we have shared with others. Grant that it may be so, God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.